Let us begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and we seal this time with the precious blood of Jesus. We pray that no demons may be allowed to listen in, to interfere, interact, or communicate with each other. We render them deaf, dumb, and blind, and useless. Mother Mary, cover us with your mantle, Saint Joseph with your holy tunic, and we place ourselves in the refuge of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay. In Matthew 18, verse 13, and this is the path of living on earth as it is in heaven. It's where Jesus says, unless you change and become like little children, you will not enter the kingdom of God. So the difficult thing, and even Nicodemus ran into this like wall, when Jesus said, you have to be born again, anothen, in the Greek, in spirit. And then he said, how can I be born again? Do I have to return to my mother's womb? See, we don't experience the greatness of God, the Trinitarian life, until we learn to be childlike again. And that process includes being weakened, not strengthened. And then that weakness brings us to him. Jesus in Matthew 11:25 said this. At that time, Jesus declared, and he says to his Father, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to babes. So what he wants to teach us is for the little ones. It's for those that know they're small, know that they need God and need him badly. And that's who he reveals these things of heaven. Because otherwise, we still think we have to be strong, dependent, all-knowing. We're not. And really, to live trying to be strong is joyless. It's frustrating because we're not strong. That's just a fact. So the whole process of God in allowing circumstances in our life that are too strong for us, the solution is not in us, it's in him. So God must create dependence. Our baptismal commitment is a declaration of dependence, not independence. So God, the scriptures even say, he resists the proud. Those who think they are strong, all-knowing, and they got it, it's all an illusion. But to those that come and they know they need him, he pours his graces upon them. Now, just to give you an idea of how God sees this, he says, the last will be first, and the first will be last. That just tells you God sees things through an other perspective. So what does he do? He allows us sometimes, And there's certain sins we can't overcome. I told you the sin of anger that I had. He allowed that to live with me for 10 years. And I was already living a life of serious commitment to Jesus Christ. And he still allowed it because he needed me to need him. And he needed to teach me. He teach me. So that confession brought me to confession often. That sin, should I say. And I want to recommend confession often. One good confession is stronger than 100 exorcisms. We're talking about power. In Peru, I was an exorcist. When I got to the part of the exorcism where the person, the possessed person, could be themselves enough and confess their sins, the devil would often lock their jaws. Or they couldn't talk suddenly. Because he knew that the moment they confess their sins, he's lost. He's lost anyway. So confession is very powerful. Another thing that I recommend, I'm giving you like a spiritual workout, call it that. Confession every month at least. I go at least every week. Another thing, spend as much time as you can before our Lord, whether it be in adoration or before the tabernacle. We need silence. Silence is God's love language. That's why the addiction, and I have my phone here with me. This is diabolical. It's used by the devil so much. People spend so many hours on this. I use it for spirit direction with people in different parts of the world. Okay? But less time with this and more time with him in silence. God's greatest acts of love were done in silence. The incarnation in silence. Mary conceived without sin in silence. You and I were conceived in our mother's womb in silence. That already tells you something about the way the Spirit moves in silence. Okay. So let's talk about, we've been talking about before, the need to recover peace as soon as possible. Without peace, you will never be happy without peace. Okay? But I want to talk about recovering peace with your sinfulness in mind. How to recover peace, apart from going to confession. But the devil uses so much of that, and he's called the accuser. In the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 10, he's called the accuser. And sometimes we recall our past, and the devil uses it to accuse us. But I want you to know that God has divine amnesia. He forgives, and boy, does he forget. This is very scriptural. Now, I have a lot to say, so I need to just give you the scriptures. Okay? For example, Isaiah 1:18, though your sins be like scarlet, I shall make them white as snow. He forgives, and he forgets very well. Isaiah 43:25, and Isaiah 44:22. I feel like I'm calling audibles in football. Okay? Isaiah 43:25 and Isaiah 44:22 speaks about that God forgives and forgets, and he will not recall our sins. Now, I want to give you a true story of how well God forgives. When I was working in the prison in the Amazon jungle in Peru, I was the chaplain. And there were two warring gangs. One was from Lima, the capital, and they were used by the guards of the prison to beat up the other inmates to keep them in line. And the other opponents, a gang from the rest of the provinces, the rest of Peru, and they hated each other. The ones that were from the other provinces of Peru, they were carpenters. And I met the head gang member of the one from Lima. His name was Johnny. And I invited him to Mass. I said, Johnny, I'd like to invite you to Mass. Now, Johnny wasn't exactly too devout. And he didn't exactly exude joy, enthusiasm when I invited him to Mass. In fact, when I invited him to Mass, you know what his answer was? He needed a little conversion. But you get what I'm saying. Well, Johnny did not know. That was on a Sunday that I invited him to Mass. The next day, there was a shipment of wood coming in for the other gang members to do their carpentry. But what no one knew, that inside the wood, there were firearms. So they got the firearms and they massacred the gang from Lima. So I heard it on the radio. I got in my car, drove, got into the prison, and I saw body bags everywhere, blood everywhere. And I asked, is there anyone alive? And they said, yes, Father, one, but he's about to die, and he's in such and such hospital. From people from Peru would know, well, it's called Hospital Santa Rosa. I said, okay. So I ran in there, and guess who it was? Johnny. So when I arrived where Johnny was, and he was about to die, he had probably who knows how many bullet holes in him. He was blood was leaving his ears, his nose, his mouth, his eyes. He was bleeding through his eyes. Now, he had a terrible hemorrhage. And I said, Johnny, this is Father Philip. I met you yesterday. God wants to forgive you everything you've ever done. Would you like to repent? And Johnny shook his head, no. I said, Johnny, God forgives very well. He wants to forgive you everything you've done. He wants to give you heaven. Would you like to repent? And he shook his head, no. 5 times I asked him, 5 times he shook his head, no. I finally said, Johnny, if you do not repent, you will end up in hell. I beg you. And he shook his head, no. So, I don't know if you understand this. I'm a sick Mary on you. You understand that saying in Canada? I'm a sick Our Lady on you. I'm going to send Our Lady to just take over this. So I sent Our Lady, and then I blessed him with the host. Of course, I was binding all the evil spirits that were battling for his soul. And in the middle of the anointing of the sick, Johnny shook his head. That's all it took. God, so to speak, was saying to him, look, John, I've been trying to get you for a long time. And finally, you can't move. You're in a state that you can't move. You're stuck on a bed. You're about to die. So I'm going to throw a priest at you. And I landed hard with an absolution. Let's give Jesus a hand for that. Okay? Praise God. How great thou art, the Lord. So though Johnny all his life was saying no, God was saying, oh, I can't hear you. Johnny was saying no, and God was saying, I can't hear you. Now we're beginning to understand his infinity and his mercy. And that's what needs to be predominant when we face our sins. And he shows us our sin. Because one of the signs of spiritual health is that you go to confession often. That's a sign of spiritual health. Another one that shows the Father's heart. I don't know if I mentioned this. Did I mention about a little aborted girl that appeared to me? Did I tell you that? No. Yeah, okay, good. Okay. You know, when you pray before the Blessed Sacrament and you spend time with him, eventually, I've mentioned this, the veil starts lifting and time and eternity begin to crisscross. The infinite and the temporal begin to mix. Because the fact is, there are many angels here. I want you to tell your angel you love him. Tell him in your heart. Close your eyes. Tell your angel you love him. And ask your angel to bring more angels to the circumstances in your life that are unbearable. And those relationships in your life that are very difficult. Ask your angels to speak to their angels to bring more angels. And then tell your angel that God, Jesus Christ, will have the last word. And thank him for what he will do. Now, open up your eyes, please. I want you to blow God the Father a big kiss. Come on. Come on, don't be stingy. How about Jesus Christ? Mwah. The Holy Spirit. Mwah. Our Lady. Mwah. Your angels. Mwah. Now, there are many, so you have to do a lot. Okay? You see, the atmosphere of heaven, of the kingdom of God, is very joyful. It's also very pure. It's very innocent. It frees you. So that's what God has to teach us, how to live in the culture, so to speak, of heaven. So I'm praying one day in front of the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. I wake up early in the morning to pray. I have my coffee with me. Espresso coffee. It can wake up the dead. Okay? And I'm praying, and suddenly my German Shepherd, Max, he's in a dead sleep. He's snoring. Suddenly he stops snoring. He lifts his head, and he's staring at a corner. It surprised me. He went from a dead sleep, and he's staring. So I go to look at what he's staring at, and there's a little girl there. A soul. And she says to me, "Father, God has allowed me to come to you. My mother aborted me. And you have her wedding tonight. And he wants her to know that he wants to forgive her and that I forgive her." And she left. My dog went back to sleeping. And that night I did have her wedding. Now you want to know about God, how good? What does God the Father do? What a day to forgive his daughter as a wedding gift. This is his wedding gift to her, his mercy. And God, in his way of working, it always is for the good. And he forgives so well. How well does he forgive? Let's go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. St. Paul speaks about that, and I'll read it. "Having canceled the bond which stood against us with its legal demands." He's speaking about legal, legality, legal terms. When a person is in court, the side that's trying to prove that you're guilty presents all the evidence of why you're guilty. And they present all this evidence. Well, what St. Paul is saying is that all the evidence that you and I sin has been destroyed. It was nailed to the cross, as St. Paul says. So all the evidence of what you and I did, not only did he forgive you and me of our sins when we repent, but he canceled it. Other translations say he destroyed all the evidence of what you and I have done. So there's no evidence for what, if we've repented and taken it to confession, all the evidence of what we did is gone. It's gone. It's annihilated. That's how well he forgives. And we need to recall that. Now, anyone here have a difficulty forgiving themselves for their past? Raise your hands. Okay, I need to say this. And this is Pope Benedict. Pope Benedict said, and he asked in his book, Jesus of Nazareth, he wrote three volumes, about Jesus of Nazareth. And the first one he writes about God's mercy. one of the things he mentions. And he said, he asked this question, what did it cost Jesus to forgive us? What did it cost him? He had to die. It cost his life. What does it cost us to be forgiven? Repentance and taking it to confession. Who paid the higher cost? There's no comparison. So who deserves more attention once we've repented? And not what we did. Jesus. So to keep allowing the devil, for some of us, is we have that, call it, that difficulty in forgiving ourselves, because when we were growing up, our parents never let us off the hook. They would always throw in our face what we did. So that's kind of transferred, and we've kind of think that God is like that. The fact is, he's not like that. And he wants us to celebrate his mercy, because he forgives and forgives so well. But if I keep focused on what I did, what we did, and now on what he did on that cross, it's still about me. Sin is spelled lowercase s, capital I, lowercase n. So if we focus on what I did, it's about me and not about Jesus. And plus, we're not free. So God wants you and I to know and know well how well he forgives. How many of us are worried about loved ones and their souls? Raise your hand. Yes. Now, it's important to know that God's action is not limited to this time and space. It's important to know that God's action is out of this world. Who's heard of St. John Vianney, the Curia of Ars? He was, as always, here in confessions. And at one point, he told the woman whose turn it was to go to confession, he did this. Wait, and he went to looking for a woman. The Lord had showed him someone, and he noticed the long line of people. It wasn't her, but he found the face he saw, the woman at the beginning of the sanctuary, crying before our Lord in his altar, sobbing and sobbing. So he went to the woman, tapped on her back, and he said to her, "Your husband was not condemned. He didn't condemn himself." And she said, "That's impossible, Father. My husband was an enemy of the church. He was an anarchist. He tried to destroy the church. He hated." He said, "That's true. But years ago, you asked him permission to hang an image of the Sacred Heart above your bed. And he gave you permission. And that one act was enough an opening for him to be saved." Welcome to God's as reality. His mercy is his greatest attribute. I have a brother, Frank, was away from the church 50 years. Now, my family's in so much need. God has a miracle. How he pulled this off. How in my family there's two priests? There is no human explanation. Because we weren't exactly devout. We didn't even pray growing up we didn't even pray before meals. We went to Mass. But there wasn't much love in my family. And God, how he pulled, we got two priests out of this family. So my brother and I are pretty busy. So my oldest brother, Frank, I'm with one of my spiritual daughters, and I'm about to begin spiritual direction, and my phone rings. It's my niece, and she says, "Oh, Frank just died. He died of a massive heart attack." I hung up the phone, and I noticed when I heard the call and I got the news, I was obviously surprised, but underneath it, not too far, I felt a peace. A peace that told me everything's fine. So I said to my spiritual daughter, I said, "Let's pray what Mother Teresa of Calcutta used to call the flying novena, 9 memoraries. Remember, most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession were left unaided. Come on. Inspired by your confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin, O Virgins, our Mother. To you do we come, before you we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother, the Word incarnate, despise not our petition, but in thy mercy hear and answer us." You do it 9 times. Okay, you stuff it with 9 novenas. So God isn't limited by time and space. So I asked that flying novena to be applied to the moment of my brother's death. Because for God, everything's in front of him. The death of someone 20 years ago is in front of him. He is the eternal present. There's no past or future for him. It's all in front of him. So I asked him that this would be applied to the moment of his death. Now my brother, Frank, didn't even want a Catholic funeral. So we had been praying, masses, rosaries. I mean, he got more than he knew. And of course, he was going to get a Catholic funeral. So my brother and I were preparing, we're vesting for the funeral. And suddenly, I feel the presence of a soul in the room. I turn around, it's my brother. It's my brother, Frank. And he says to me, "I love you, I love you, I love you. Because of your prayers, sacrifice, suffering, rosaries," and he went on to describe it, "I am saved." Now, before that funeral mass for him, I asked Our Lady for a favor. I asked her, I said, "Mama, I want your son to tell me, did my brother condemn himself or was he saved?" The next morning, I'm praying early in the morning in front of Jesus and exposing the Blessed Sacrament like here. And I sensed the Lord very strong. Of course, he was in the Blessed Sacrament. And this is what he said. "Fear not, your brother was saved. He is in the lower regions of purgatory." Man, you're good, God. You're very good. And then a few days later when I had the funeral mass, that's when I had the meeting with my brother. So what am I recommending? How many of us have children that are away from the church and all that? And you're worried about their salvation? Raise your hand. Okay. Now, it's important to know, you can offer up masses, of course. You can offer up prayers, suffering, backaches, whatever, to be united to Christ on the cross and to be applied to the moment of their death, even if it was 20, 30 years ago. And ask him. And then you have to what? Exercise the virtue of hope. You begin to thank the Lord for his mercy. You begin to praise God for his mercy. In other words, you act because he has acted. He already knew you were going to be offering this up. You might have not known. I didn't know. But he already knew because he's all-knowing. So we begin to offer up, even for the future. I have a whole slew of nephews and nieces. They don't know how much prayer they're getting. Okay? A whole slew. And how many, I can tell you this, having been a priest for 34 years, I have heard people that into the end of their life didn't want anything with God. And then suddenly something happened There was the grandfather of one of our sisters, an alcoholic, didn't want anything with God. And I found out that he liked fishing. So I sat next to him at a gathering and I talked about fishing to him. Do I know about fishing? Nada. Nothing. So I said, you know who was a fisherman? He said, who? I said, St. Peter. So I told him about St. Peter. I told him about the miraculous catch. I took him to Luke chapter 5, verse 6, where Peter falls on his knees and he says to get away from him because he's a sinful man. I said, brother, St. Peter did that. And I said, would you like to receive? And I eventually went through it and all this. And from fishing, we went to confession. He's good. He's really good. One man, this is beautiful. I was preaching and I happened to mention the sin of contraception, the mortal sin of contraception. And after Mass, you know, people greet the Father, right? After Mass. And the person, and this guy came out and he was furious at me. And he said, how dare you say that? And I said, and he was screaming and all this. I said, come here, brother. So I took him by the arm. We walked arm in arm. And he didn't know, but I was taking him to the confessional. So we walked arm in arm. He's yelling at me, yeah, come on, we'll talk about it. He's telling me off. Okay, come, okay, it's fine. I'm not, okay. So now he had had a vasectomy. He got it reversed. His wife got pregnant. Guess who's the godfather? Now, why do I mention that? Because what I tell the Lord in every situation, you must have the last word. Not our sin. Not someone, you will have the last word. And I tell the Lord, you will have the last word. I don't tell him, can you? I say, you will have the last word. We have a saying in Spanish, soy atrevido. You will have the last word. Now, this is very biblical. If you were to read Acts chapter 13, verse 22, it speaks about David. The last time God in the scripture speaks about David. He doesn't call him adulterer or murderer because David committed adultery and he had who murdered? Uriah, the husband of who? Bathsheba. So that's David blew it. But the last time the Holy Spirit inspires, in this case Luke, to mention David. He doesn't mention those terrible sins. He speaks, he's a man after my heart. God had the last word. So in those situations, whether it be with relatives or those that we're worried about, that take away our peace, know, God, you will have the last word. You will have the last word. And talk to him in that way. You're giving him a vote of confidence. He will have the last word. So you live in hope. A hope that's infinite. A hope that can't even take God in. Even in the book of Ephesians, it's beautiful. It says that he's able to do much more than what we ask or pray. This is the life of the kingdom. It's filled with hope, no matter what we see. Now, this doesn't happen by willpower. It happens by grace. How much time do we spend with the Lord? And this is what I want to finish with. This is the game changer. How much time do we spend with Jesus? I don't know if in this diocese of Calgary, Is it archdiocese or diocese? Diocese. If there's many churches that have perpetual adoration. But even if it's in front of our Lord, in front of the tabernacle, our Lord is very lonely. And I want to give you a true story. My twin brother was visiting me, and I had to repose the Blessed Sacrament just for an hour. I'll be back and take him, my brother, to the airport, my twin. So I reposed our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, and I was going to leave at, I'd be back by 5 o'clock. It was an early flight. He had to be at the airport. When I'm approaching Jesus to repose him in the Blessed Sacrament, I hear as clear as I'm talking to you these words. Do not leave me alone. I break down and start weeping. And in his tone of voice, there was such agony. Because the Lord reveals to us in an experience, he confides his heart. That's what it's about in John 15 when Jesus says, I no longer call you servants but friends. In a monarchy, in the kingdom of the world, the king had a cohort of few people that he could confide his heart. So Jesus was telling his disciples stuff he didn't tell to anybody else. He opened up his heart. So the Lord was confiding his heart to me. I'm his friend. But he has few friends in this world. His loneliness is, it would kill you and me if he allowed us to experience the depth of his loneliness. So when he was saying, do not leave me alone, he was confiding a truth about his presence on this, in this world. And since he loves infinitely, his loneliness is very great. And then when I came back to expose him, to have at least an hour more, as I was reposing him, I heard these words as clear as I'm speaking to you. Ah, you're back. That's the reality of our Lord. He has few friends on this side of eternity. And the fact of the matter is, he suffers. I don't know if you've ever read in the spiritual diary of Saint Faustina, where the tabernacle door kept opening. So she would shut it, and it kept opening. And then one, as she got, I don't know what time, how many times it had been, she closed the door. Jesus said, I'm leaving. I'm not going to be in this convent. Because no one wants to spend time with me. And she said to him, St. Faustina, I will stay with you. And then he said, then I will stay. We don't understand that he's a person. And he has a personality. The Father has a different personality than Jesus. Jesus has a different personality than the Father and the Holy Spirit. It's divine persons, but they're persons. So I ask you again, how much time do you and I spend with Jesus? That is one of the things most needed today. He needs adorers. So, so important. Okay. I've really given you just, I've scraped the barrel. I mean, very little. There's so much that I could be saying, okay? I want to finish before, it's almost 2 o'clock. I want to finish with a prayer of protection. Okay? I'm going to do that. One time I forgot to pray this. And I was in a rectory. I was leaving. I'd given an Advent mission. And as I was going down the stairs with my bags, my luggage, a demon pushed me down the stairs. And I flew literally 4 to 5 steps. And I landed on my face in a floor like this. I had a cut throughout my face. And when I told my spirit director what had happened, he said, he asked me where did you let your guard down? He said, did you say your prayer of protection? I said, no, I forgot. He said, that's what happened. So now we're going to say this prayer together for our protection. Oh, actually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to say a prayer of healing, okay? Let's say a prayer of healing. You can be seated again. I'm sorry. Okay? And then, what time are you going to say the prayer, Father? What time are you reposing? Yes. Perfect. Okay, good. And then I'll say the prayer. Perfect. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Father. Okay. Okay, I want you to sit down now at this moment. And I want you to just close your eyes and ask the Lord to look at you. There's a face there. I know you don't see it. He has eyes, he has ears. And I want you to ask him, is there anything he wants to heal? There might be a person that comes to mind, a memory. When it comes to your mind, please raise your hand. Okay. I want you to tell the Lord what happened. Why is the Holy Spirit bringing up? Tell him what happened. As if he knew nothing about it. Tell him what happened. And when you're done telling him, raise your hand, please. Now, you might need more time to do this privately. I understand. Unfortunately, we're in a hurry, okay? And ask him and go back. How many of us can remember the place it happened? Raise your hand, please. Go back to that place. How old were you? There's a reason why the Holy Spirit has inspired this memory. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And I want you to try to remember where it happened. How old were you? If you can remember what you were wearing. And let, whether it be that little boy or that little girl, tell Jesus. Let that little boy or that little girl, if that's when it happened, talk. Explain to him what happened. And after you do that, try to imagine Jesus. This is what's called in the spiritual life, healing of memories. It's an Ignatian method of prayer. It's using the imagination. Try to imagine Jesus with you in that scene. When you see Jesus and Our Lady, or both, or one of the two, please raise your hand. Okay. Now stay with him, and I want you to see, what does he do in that experience? Let that little girl or that little boy speak. What does the Lord do? How does he look at you? I have a sense to one of you, he's running to you and he's picking you up. I don't know if you were lost. I think it's a little girl. And he picks you up and he has you in his arms and he's twirling you around. And he's saying, you're not alone. I don't know if in that scene, or maybe this is a scene similar, the little girl running, I think there was a fire. A fire. The Lord is showing me this. There's someone also who has felt overwhelmed, and the person is bent over and you feel overwhelmed. And it's as you're asking, what am I going to do? And he wants you to come to him and take his presence seriously, and he wants you to have him to give you direction. And give him this burden. Ask him to take this burden from you. And he's saying, give me that burden. Ask Our Lady to take it from you and give it to Jesus. Anyone here burdened by something? Raise your hand, please. Okay. Now he wants you to give over that burden. Okay, now he's asking me to do this. Could I ask, please, the men to stand up? Men, brothers, please stand up. And I want you to look at the Lord. And I want to ask you on behalf of any man, whether it be your father, an uncle, any man in your life who has ever hurt you, on their behalf, I want to ask you forgiveness. For the man that did not honor you, did not know how to show love, whether it be your father, did not spend time with you, he was not affectionate, he didn't tell you he was proud of you, or anyone in the church who hurt you, any priest, I want to ask you forgiveness on their behalf. I want to ask you forgiveness for any man who's ever hurt you. And I also want to ask you forgiveness on behalf of your mother, who maybe didn't know how to love you, didn't spend time with you, wasn't affectionate, was cold, reserved, whatever. On behalf of your mother, I'll ask you on her behalf, forgiveness. And could you say this prayer with me now? Repeat it. Lord Jesus, I ask you to look at my father, and I ask you to forgive him and bless him. I join my will to yours, and I forgive you, Dad, and I bless you. And Lord Jesus, I ask you to look at my mother and forgive her and bless her. I join my will to yours, and I forgive you, Mom, and I bless you. And I forgive and bless any man and any woman, and I bless them. Now, if we had more time, I would do this with much more details, okay? But we don't have the time, okay? Thank you. Please be seated. Could I ask my sisters, women, please stand. I ask you to repeat this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive my father and bless him. Now, I want to ask all you women who have been hurt by your dad, that never made you feel like you were their princess, that maybe left you, abandoned you, or gave you a bad example, or you saw him unfaithful. Some of us maybe have seen him with another woman. I want to ask you on his behalf, though he never did, but at least one man in your life is going to ask you forgiveness. For any him, not just your father, but any man who has hurt you, that did not honor you, that did not respect you, on their behalf, I ask you forgiveness. And I also ask you forgiveness on behalf of your mother or any woman who has ever hurt you, anyone who's ever hurt you. I want to ask you forgiveness. And repeat with me now. Lord Jesus, not only do I ask you to forgive my father and bless him, but I also ask you to look at my mother and forgive her and bless her. And I join my will to yours, and I too forgive you, mother, mom, and I bless you. Now, could I ask both men and women, men, please stand. Now, ourselves, look at the Lord. It cost him the price of his life to die for you. And if there's any one of us who cannot forgive ourselves, often mothers have such a difficult time forgiving, because if our children turn out and they're not living right, and we blame ourselves, or our sons, fathers also. But I want us to forgive ourselves. So I want you to say your name right now, out loud. In my case, we would be Philip. And say, I forgive you, Philip. Say your name. For all your weaknesses, all your mistakes, all your shortcomings, I forgive you. I let you off the hook. And I ask you forgiveness for the ways I've hated you. Some have wished that we didn't exist. Maybe some of us have tried to commit suicide. I know some people that have literally hit themselves. They've punched themselves. If there's anything you've done against yourself, I want you, just in your heart, to forgive yourself. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, in your powerful name. Okay, you don't have to repeat this. Okay? No, just listen. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to break any curses that have been placed on any one of our family trees. I ask you, Lord Jesus, by the power of your cross, the authority of your name, the power of your precious blood, to go to that source if any curses were placed by family members. Any family members involved in the occult, New Age, any family members where there was addictions, unforgiveness, I ask you to break those curses. I ask you, Lord, not just to break the curses, but to bring healing and turn the curses into blessing. I ask that our angels go to that part where there was a curse pronounced and to turn it into blessing. Michael, go with your angels, with your sword. And I see him coming. He's just breaking, cutting. And I ask you, Lord, to turn those curses through Michael the archangel and make them blessings. I ask you, in any family that there's been, there's not speaking to each other, there's no dialogue, to soften hearts. And I ask holy angels to go to those relationships and their angels to create an atmosphere of a desire to change, to bring healing and love. And I ask you, Lord, that in all our families, you be great, that you have the last word. I ask you, Mother Mary, to go and step on the head of the serpent. And Saint Joseph, terror of demons, to come. Saint Joseph, come. Show the glory of God, the victory of Jesus Christ in each of these families. And I ask you, Lord, to give us that hope and that perseverance that you, God Almighty, will have the last word. And I ask you, Lord, to make our families joyful, peaceful, and that you be great in our families. I pray blessing on marriages, healing on marriages, healing on family relationships. And we place all these relationships, and you know who you are in your families, we place them in the refuge of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And what she's doing, she's placing them, and I don't know why, she's tying a knot in her heart, as if they will always be there. That's what that symbolizes. These relationships will always be in our heart. And my son will have the last word. My son will have the last word. So Lord, good Papa, Jesus and Holy Spirit, bless them abundantly. On every level, emotional, spiritual, and also to meet their material needs. Because you want your children to live with the dignity as sons and daughters in you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Okay, now what I'm going to do now with Father, I'm going to go bless. Okay, where is it? And what I'm going to do, I ask you, as Father and I are going to sprinkle holy water. You need to know this, that holy water is like acid for demons. So what we're going to do is, as I'm going around, I want you, if you find addictions in your family, to renounce them. Addiction of, okay? But if it's, let's say it's lust, the spirit of lust, spirit of anger, spirit of unforgiveness, spirit of hopelessness, whatever it is, you begin to renounce them as we're going around with holy water. Okay? And ask Joseph to do the renouncing next to you because he knows exactly everything you in particular need. Okay? Ask Saint Joseph to do it. Okay? And your guardian angel also. Okay. Thank you.